Please stand for the reading. I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Let us hold true to what we have attained.
You may be seated.
Our next song will be Wonderful, Merciful Savior. Excuse me. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. Healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you'll find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Our next song will be Till the Storm Passes By. That's 309 in your songbook. In the dark of the midnight, I have oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more,
till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered,
There is no need to try, for there's no end to sorrow. There's no hope by and by, but I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll ride where the storm never darkened the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on the bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Our invitation song tonight will be number 871, Jesus is Tenderly Calling.
If you would, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, where we'll be studying from this famous passage, verses 12 through 16, and looking at that again and hopefully gaining some lessons for our lives from it. Striving for the goal. Stephen Covey, as we've talked about before, said we need to begin with the end in mind. We need to be thinking about the goal. I heard someone at PTP say that the difference in a goal and a wish is a plan. That really the two things are similar, a wish and a goal. But a goal, you have a plan of how you're going to get there. You actually have a target in mind and some objectives. It's not just a dream or a wish. To achieve any goal, we have to have dedicated hard work and effort to accomplish that. Well, here in Philippians chapter 3, Paul's going to talk about his goals and how he's been trying to achieve them. He's probably referring to some Christians who were thinking of themselves as having reached a higher level of spirituality and having become perfected, having retained their goal. And Paul, they're criticizing Paul, and Paul's going to remind them that as a Christian, we never really attain that goal. And that our perfection does not come here on this earth. But we need to constantly be striving for it. I want to call your attention to two phrases found in verses 15 and verse 17. The first one is the first phrase of verse 15. Let those who are mature think this way. So Paul says that if you're mature, think this way. Now let me say that I think all of us as Christians and all of us as individuals, we'd want to be mature, right? I mean, you don't want someone saying you're immature. That's a cut down. That's a hurtful thing. If someone says, well, you know, I just think you're being very immature in this. We don't think, well, that's exactly what I was wanting to be. You know, that's a cutful thing. And so Paul says, if you're mature, then this is the way you need to think. So what we're going to talk about tonight is the way we need to think. And then he says in verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me. Join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So the These two phrases illustrate that this is a pattern, this is a lifestyle, this is a message here, a plan, if you will, for accomplishing our goals. So this is the plan to accomplish our goal. And Paul says that if you're mature, this is the way you're going to think. And he says that I want you to imitate me. This is my plan, this is my goal, and imitate me. And then he says, find other people who are doing this and imitate them. So I want to suggest tonight that this is a powerful passage and one that we can't just dismiss lightly. That we need to understand that I want to be mature, you want to be mature, then this is the way we got to think. And that this is how Paul lived, and he says, model our lives off of his life. And of course, we know 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, that Paul modeled his life off of Christ. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So Paul's really getting this from Jesus. So notice two questions we're going to ask tonight. First question is, what was Paul's goal? And the second question we're going to ask is, how did he try to accomplish that goal? So the goal that Paul's talking about here, what was it? And how did he try to accomplish that? Well, notice Paul had two ideas, and I don't want you to misunderstand me on this. So let me try to explain it. It's a singular goal. Paul's going to speak about it. But I think that there's two concepts of that singular goal. So I'm going to talk about the two goals that Paul primarily had, though I'm also going to talk about the one goal. In other words, these two things are enmeshed, and I'm breaking them down so we can better understand them, but it's all about one goal, even though I'm going to break it into two parts of that one goal. And so the first part of this one goal that Paul had was to fulfill Christ's purpose for his life. Look at verses 12 and following and read our passage again. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. Paul says, you know, he's not perfect. He hasn't reached this goal yet. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies ahead and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on for the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. What is this goal, and what is this pressing forward to this goal of this prize of the upward call of God? Well, I think there's two main facets of this goal. The first main facet of it is Paul wanted to do what Christ wanted him to do. In other words, he wanted to fulfill God's purpose for his life. If you turn back to Acts chapter 26, where Paul is going to receive his call on the road to Damascus, and he's going to be instructed about what he's going to do, I want to read again what God told him, what Jesus told him. He says in verse 16, "Stand up on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you." This is Paul's purpose. God is sending him to the Gentiles, sending him also to the Jews. Verse 18, "to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified." What was the purpose for Paul's life? Paul's life and his purpose was to preach the gospel. He explains that in the book of Romans, doesn't he? That was his purpose. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was going to preach it to the Jew and also to the Greek. Paul's purpose in this life was to preach the gospel and to open the eyes of people. Now, if you go back to this same book, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." Paul's main purpose in life was to advance the gospel. Look at verse 20 of this same chapter, chapter 1. "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body." What was Paul's purpose while he was here on this earth? To honor Christ in his body. to honor Christ. Look at verse 22. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Paul said, if I'm alive, I'm going to be laboring. I'm going to be preaching the gospel. I'm going to be honoring Christ in my body. In fact, over in Colossians chapter 1, which is just the next book over written at the same time as the book of Philippians when Paul was in prison, he talks about his purpose in that situation. And he talks about how, verse 24, he's going to rejoice in his sufferings for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the body. And then he talks about how God had chose him to declare the riches of his glory amongst the Gentiles, verse 27, which is Christ in you. Listen to verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone. Paul said that he's struggling and his whole purpose was to preach the gospel. Now, that was Paul's purpose. You may not have that exact same purpose. There's a sense where as Christians, all of us have that purpose. But there's also a specific sense that, you know, God did not appear to you like he did Paul and call you to be an apostle and send you out to with the abilities that he gave Paul to preach to the Gentiles. But I think we need to all step back, and I don't think we do this enough as humans and as Christians today. And that is, and maybe in the church, you know, sometimes we can even be a little maybe negative on this in the church sometimes. And that is thinking about what's the purpose? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What does Christ want me to do with my life? I found that it's interesting that lots of times those of us who are younger, living their life, let's say, and still very active and busy in their life, we don't stop and take the time to think about what does God want me to do with my life enough. I found it interesting that the people who often ask me this question, Josh, I just don't know what purpose I have for my life, or I don't know what God wants me to do with my life right now, are not usually what we would say those between the age of 20 and let's say 70, that middle age years. It's often the people that are young, high school, early college years, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with their life, what's God want me to do. You know who else it is? It's the older people. They're at the end of their life. They often don't feel very useful. They're struggling with their health. They have a lot of time. They're shut in. They're homebound. They're in the nursing home. And they're saying, God, I don't know why I'm still here. What does God want me to do with my life? And what I'm saying is, both of those categories of people need to be asking, yeah, what's my purpose? But what about the rest of us? We get so busy with all the things of paying the bills every month and putting food on the table and all the responsibilities and work. Do we stop and think, what is my purpose here? And am I going to try to fulfill it? What is my purpose here? The second main purpose that Paul talked about, I believe, in this idea, is he wanted to go to heaven. And that is, when he thinks about, and these are two, as I tried to say at the beginning, you can't really separate these two. I think we try too much. We often talk about, well, you know, the main goal of a Christian is what? To go to heaven. And that's true, but also the main goal of a Christian should be to do Christ's will now. It's not just a later on I'm going to get the blessing. No, we want to do his will now. So it's a doing it now and also aiming for heaven. And so Paul wanted to go to heaven. He spoke of this in, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, a very similar language about running the race, and there's a prize. This is a illustration from the Greek games, a prize laid out before us. And he says, I'm going to run that race. In 2 Timothy, I will read that passage, 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's a very famous passage, probably at the end of Paul's life. We believe this to be the last letter he wrote. And he says this, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You know what this verse says. Don't you love it, though? Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. What's Paul's goal? His goal is to receive this prize he's been talking about in 1 Corinthians 9:24. He's been talking about it in Philippians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 3. And now he's talking about it at the end of his life. I want to receive the prize. But here's the beautiful thing. It's not only to me, but it is also to all who have loved his appearing. Back in Philippians chapter 1, Paul would say that verses 21 through 23, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Verse 23, "I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." Paul had the goal of going to be with Christ, to go into heaven. Now, when you think about this idea, we must ask ourselves, what is your goal? What is my goal? I spoke earlier about considering your purpose. Do you think about why you're here and what you can do with your life now? I think we need to reflect upon that. You know, what gifts and talents do you have? What passions do you have that drives you? What skills do you have that you can give? What blessings has God given you that you can use as a stewardship to give back to Him? What influence do you have? You know, we don't stop enough and reflect and consider. We don't meditate or think enough about these things. For example, I remember we went to, in the last couple of weeks, we went to Polishing the Pulpit, and I was telling Amanda that you go to these lectures, and I said, sometimes you can go to lecture, and you hear all this good practical stuff, and you stop and you think, you know, all this is good stuff, and you take notes on it, but you just kind of move on right to the next lecture. You take notes on that, move on to the next lecture and get some notes, and then go to bed that night and get up and do it again. And that's how it is with school or whatever else. And that's how it is with sermons, right? Each week, come in, and hopefully you hear a good sermon. You take notes, write those notes down, move on. Next week, we'll be on the same sermon. Go to the ladies' class or go to the class on, you know, any adult class you go to here, and you hear a good lesson. You study that book, read the chapter, and then what? You go on to the next chapter. Here's the thing. Sometimes we need to stop. The thing we're weakest in the church when it comes to this, we're really good at disseminating information. We're pretty weak at applying and transforming our lives based upon the information. I heard a lot of good things at PTP, and a lot of those things got written down in my book, and I thought, you know what, I need to do that to my life, or I need to think about that some. But how many of those things have I really gone back and thought, all right, now this is one part. Jerry Barber says, try not to learn very much. He says every time he goes to a lecture, every time he hears a sermon, every time he reads an entire book, he tries not to learn very much. He says his goal is to learn one thing from everything he hears or reads. Just one thing from an overall book, one thing from a lesson. And you think about that. If you can learn just one thing and actually apply that to your life, how will you be different? You see, what is your goal? What's your purpose? And are you applying that to your life? When you think about heaven, do you think about your goal of going to heaven? Do you think about that being your aim? So what was Paul's goal? His goal was to fulfill the purpose Christ had for him and to go to heaven. Now let's talk about how did Paul strive to obtain this goal? What was the plan? Now, we're not going to spend as long on these four. I want to move through these four things that Paul had. First of all, he was humble in his mindset. He was humble in his mindset. Look at verse 3. He says, not that I have, verse 12 of chapter 3, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. Paul did not think he had arrived. He was understanding that he still needed to grow. He was humble in his mindset. A humble mindset is so important to seeking after the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You must believe you need to grow. You must believe there's a reason to press on for the call. You've got to keep pressing, keep striving. And if you're not humble, if you think you're perfect, then you're not going to keep striving for that attainment. Christ can't truly use someone who is not humble. Think about how Christ prepared his servants. He prepared Moses through sending him out into the wilderness for 40 years, making him flee Egypt. 40 years before he could really use him. He had to be 80 years old. Moses thought he was ready to deliver the people when he was 40, but God said, no, you got to be humble. 40 years of humiliation. Think about the children of Israel. They were ready to enter the promised land. They were too prideful. God condemned that generation 40 years into the wilderness. You had to be humble. Think about Peter. Peter, this great man, always speaking too quickly. He needed to be humble. He had to deny Christ 3 times, even after Jesus said he was going to deny. He had to go out and weep bitterly before he was really able to be the servant, the priest on the day of Pentecost. Paul, the great apostle, had to be a persecutor of the church and realize how far he had come from God and be humbled to the point of blindness and being brought to that humiliating point of realizing everything he had believed in for all his life was wrong before he could really be a servant of God. If you're not humble, you're not going to be able to attain the goals Christ has for your life. Paul said he was humble in mindset, but though he was determined in focus. Paul communicates how he was determined in his focus. He wasn't going to be sidetracked. He said that he had a laser focus. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on. You know, I often think about the gun analogy for this thought. You can take a shotgun, and of course a shotgun spreads out, and you can use that if you're going to be hunting birds or waterfowl or things like that, because you need to get it out there wide and they're not as big of a bird or thing you're trying to kill. But if you're going to try to kill a larger animal, like deer season is going to be coming in, you're not going to want to take a shotgun and just spread it out. You're going to want to take a rifle. And a rifle has a singular focus, doesn't it? It has one singular bullet. It doesn't break away into a bunch of little BBs. In our lives, we need to ask ourselves, am I shooting with my life with a rifle? Am I got a singular focus on heaven and the goal of Christ? Or do I try to spread out my life and hit a lot of targets and hit a lot of things and make a lot of people happy and make myself happy in a lot of ways without having a singular focus? We need to be determined in our focus. Paul says, one thing I do. You may not be able to make $1 million. You may not be able to become famous. You may not be able to do a lot of things in this world. But one thing you can do, one thing that everybody can do, is go to heaven. One thing I do, I focus on that goal. Number three, he says he's forgetful of the past. Forgetting what lies behind. Paul says, I forget the past and move forward. Now we understand Paul still understood the past and didn't totally wipe it from his memory. And we may think he's referring to his sinful life and the sinful past that he had. But I would suggest that he could also be referring to the good things too. He's talking about his goal of winning more souls for Jesus, his goal of making it to heaven. And I think he may be saying, yes, I forget the failures I had, and especially the failure I had when I started this line. But I think he also might be saying, I also don't take pride in what I did in my early missionary journeys. I don't take pride and say, well, look at me. I've already converted thousands. I don't need to worry about anybody else. I've already attained a level of spirituality. I'm already close to Christ. My ticket is punched, if you will. I'm coasting on in. Paul says, I forget what's in the past, and I focus on my goal in the present. I focus on what I can do today. Forgetting in the past. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, today is the day of salvation. The past will shape us, but it should not define us. It should not define us in the present. We use the experiences of the past, but we do not live crippled by the past. Last night, we watched, as a family, we watched the movie Secretariat. Really good horse movie, Disney show that was out several years ago. And we were watching that, and at the end, when Secretariat, of course, wins the Triple Crown, and the last race, the trainer had kept a stack of clippings from all the races where the newspaper people talked about he had failed. He's an older man, and how he had failed numerous times. And he kept that with kind of a motivating thing to talk about how he's got to get through this. And it kind of defined him in a little way as a failure. And before that last race in the movie, He takes all those clippings out of his billfold and he puts them in a little dish and he burns them. He's moving on in the present and he takes joy and pride in his accomplishments that he has now done with Secretariat. I think there's a real sense that that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying that if you're carrying around newspaper clippings that detail how you're a failure, or if you're carrying around newspaper clippings that detail how you are so successful in all that you've done, he says, burn them. Just burn them. He says, put it behind you and press on today. Press on today. And then finally, he says, grounded in the truth. This is the plan. He says, grounded in the truth. Look at verse number 16. Only, this is like after giving this advice, he comes back and it's almost like a parent who's told them, you know, this inspiring things. But wait a minute, I don't want you to take this and get out of hand. I don't want you to think that you're just supposed to lose everything you've learned. He says, only let us hold true to what we've attained. In other words, we're pressing for the goal, but we're also building on the knowledge we've gained from the past. We're grounded in the truth. He's not saying cast off everything you've learned and just press on and you know, as some people want to do, just focus on the grace of God and not worry about anything when it comes to truth and what you might know and right and wrong. No, Paul's saying, listen, you've attained some things. You've learned some things. You be grounded in them. Hold to the truth and build upon them. Build upon that truth. But be humble in it. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, he says, be established in the faith. Take what you've learned and press forward with a solid foundation. And so when we think about striving for the goals, are our goals the same as Paul's? If we are mature, if we're wanting to imitate Paul, then we're going to have the same goals. We're going to be focused on using our lives for Christ's purpose today, and we're going to be focused on heaven. We're going to try to execute the plan of God that He gives here. We're going to be humble. We're going to be determined in our focus. We're going to focus on heaven. We're going to be forgetful of the past, and we're going to be grounded in the truth. I want to close by doing something that I think will be very helpful that I've been trying to do more and may share more with you about it, and that is praying Scripture and actually trying to pray the Scripture into our lives and live out the Scripture. So let's close by praying the Scripture, and then we'll extend the invitation. Father, we're thankful for this passage. And Father, we pray that we will realize that we need to be humble, that we will realize that we have not already obtained, but we're not perfect, that we need to press on to the goal. Help us to consider, Father, our lives and consider our purpose. Consider this goal that Paul discusses. Father, help us to do the one thing. Paul says the one thing that he does. Help us to do that. Help us to have a rifle-like focus, to be determined, to focus upon you, upon allowing your purpose to be lived out in our lives. Help us to be reflective and to stop and reflect on how you want to use us, to not be so busy that we miss the opportunities you set before us. Help us to have this kind of purpose and determination. Father, help us to press on, to forget what is behind. Help us to forget our failures, to forget our successes, and to press on today. Help us to keep that prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus always before us. Father, I pray that you'll help us to be mature and to think like this. Help us to put this mindset on our own lives. And Father, help us to be grounded in your truth, to want to build upon what we've learned and what we know, and to want to press on further, to not discard the truth of that we've learned in the past, but to take that and build upon that and go even further. Father, help us to strive to meet these goals as Paul talks about. so that one day we can speak as Paul spoke and be able to know that there's laid up for us a crown of righteousness that is not only for us, but is for all who have loved your appearing. Help us to have that same mindset, Father. And help us to long and look forward to it and to keep that focus each day. Father, thank you for Jesus, and it's through Christ we pray. Amen. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you want to put Christ on in baptism, then we encourage you to do that. And if we can help you in any way, come as together we stand and as we sing.
Sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away, calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting. Come to him now, waiting today, come with thy sin.